Last week, if you remember, we were reflecting upon the year past, what God has achieved, and what may come in the future. This morning, I want us to consider something more about what we should be doing and what to expect in the year ahead. One of the things that you find as a regular theme in the scriptures is the need to resist sin and to grow in grace and to focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ, all that he has done for us, considering the fact that we are sinners and we are only saved by grace through faith because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done, and to rely upon the working of the Holy Spirit within our hearts to prompt us, to push us in the right direction. For many years, I have, on the first Sunday of a new year, preached on the subject of New Year's resolutions. And it is a time of year when people decide to make a New Year's resolution, and it's always interesting to see whether people keep up their New Year's resolutions. Sometimes people actually tell other people what their New Year's resolutions are. This year I'm going to do this. And it's always interesting to see how long that resolution lasts. There are people who think that by so doing they make themselves more favourable to God. Especially unbelievers, they think, God will be pleased with me if I turn over a new leaf. If I decide to stop doing that and I'll do this instead, I'll try and be positive and God will bless me as a consequence. Failing to understand anything about the nature of sin in the heart, failing to understand anything about what God requires of us, failing to understand that we are saved only by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's very commendable if people decide to put off sin and to in some way put on righteousness, but outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is all of, without any value spiritually with regard to God. We are still sinners, and we still are under the wrath of God unless we have first come to Christ. So a new year is a time to reflect upon where we've come from and reflect upon how we can positively grow in grace, get to know more of the grace of God in our hearts in the coming year. So first of all, we need to consider resisting sin, throwing off that which hinders. We read about such things in Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Sin clings. You've heard the phrase, mud sticks. If you pick up a big lump of mud and throw it at someone, it sticks on them. I was watching a film last night. I won't go into any of the details, but merely to say that towards the end, several people got covered in muddy water. Indeed, reading about the making of the film, it seems that some of them had serious lung infections as a consequence of being covered with this mud. And it was not yucky mud, it was mud that the filmmakers had produced themselves. But several people got ill as a consequence. And they were covered in mud, and I'm sure they had great fun in having showers afterwards to wash away the mud, because the mud stuck to them. And sin sticks to us. It is a struggle to get rid of sin, because sin sticks so firmly. There are many situations in which, depending on the kind of mud that comes at you, it can be very hard to wash off, and it needs a very good hard scrub. Well, sin is even worse. Sin is even more sticky, and sin is even more difficult to get rid of. There are so many things that sins that we commit. So many of them, not outward sins which are observable, many of them are, but not all of them. Many of them are inward. Pride. Well, we hear a lot about pride, and pride is something that seems that people want to boast about. But pride is a sin. The scriptures tell us that pride goes before a fall. And it's so sad that these people who boast about being proud, having pride, they are due for a fall. And their fall will come, whether in this life or at the judgment. So many of us are lazy. We think, oh, I'll just have another 5 minutes in bed. And you roll over and 2 hours later you realise that time has gone. Where's it all gone? And it might have been nice having that extra time asleep. But there's so many things that we could have got up and been getting about and doing. Greed. Now, there's greed with regard to food. And we can stuff ourselves. Living in the society we do, the majority have no problem in feeding themselves and with abundance. But there are other kinds of greed as well. Greed with regard to money. I want more money. I want what is yours. These things are condemned in the scriptures. We can be addicted to various things. And it's not just illegal drugs. There are legal drugs which people can be addicted to, and it's not good for us. We need to be able to say no. Indwelling sin is something that will always be a struggle while we are in this world. And Paul writes about that, his own experience in Romans chapter 7, verse 13 to the end of the chapter. And for so many years, decades even, there has been controversy over who is the man of Romans 7. And some people try to make out that this was a state of the person who was a carnal Christian. That is, someone who was a believer, but they were basically living as an unbeliever. And it was a way of justifying people making a profession of faith, but then showing no evidence of salvation at all. No godliness in life. Which was of no help to them, because it was basically telling unbelievers, they really were believers, they just needed to knuckle down a bit, to come to Jesus as Lord and not just as Saviour. But this is a heresy, because if you take Jesus as your Saviour, you must have him as your Lord as well. It's not one and possibly the other, it is both. You cannot have Jesus as Saviour unless you have him as your Lord. And we need to remember the words of John in 1 John 1, where he says that we are all sinners, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if we deny that we are sinners, we make God a liar, because God tells us that we are sinners. So we have to always be aware of the fact of indwelling sin and how it works upon us, and to remember the words that Peter spoke in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. He wants to capture us. He wants to get us in his snare. And so it is necessary for us to look at our own hearts and to be aware of the fact of sin. And we should be able to think of specific sins, specific habits that are holding us back from growing in grace. We could perhaps set ourselves the target in this coming year of, I know this is my particular problem. What can I do to eradicate this particular sin from my life? Now, it might be something you don't want to admit to other people, but we should at least admit it to God. We should confess our sins to God, but sometimes it's necessary to confess our sins to others and to say, I need help. Will you help me in dealing with this particular sin? So we need to continually repent and turn away from those sins which cling so closely, that we might walk more closely with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, sin so often comes as a result of temptations that come. And temptations can come in various forms, And again, we need to recognize what those temptations are. And when those temptations are, recognize them and turn away from them. Do not do what some people think, I'll put myself in the way of temptation so I can learn to resist that temptation, and then fall flat on your faces into that temptation. No, when a temptation comes, avoid it, turn your back upon it. It might mean leaving the presence of certain people or certain situations. If you think, every time I go to that place, every time I meet these people, I fall into sin. Well, perhaps what you need to do is to say, well, I won't go there anymore. I won't meet with those people anymore. Sometimes it's hard. You might need to break off relationships with people who are always bringing you to sin. Be practical. Think about what you need to do. Avoid these circumstances that cause you to sin. But then we need to grow in grace. We need to resist sin. We need to avoid sin. We need to recognize it so that we can avoid it and the temptations that lead to it. So we need to grow in grace. What does the writer of the Hebrews say? Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Peter, again, writing this time in his second letter, chapter 3 and verse 18, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Growth is not something that comes automatically. Growth is something that you intend to do. You can think back and think, well, how have I progressed in the years since I came to Christ? How have I been doing? What were the pitfalls? What were the things that caused growth? Let me think about those things that most helped me. Those things are the things perhaps I should be concentrating on. There is an old heresy. It goes along with what I mentioned about the carnal Christian. And that is the idea that we should let go and let God. I remember sitting in a Bible study and an elderly lady said, oh, I believe that we don't need to strive or struggle. That is a mistake. We just need to let go and let God. And that was the problem Paul had in Romans 7. He was struggling with sin, and rather he should have just let go and let God. As if we just lie back and God does everything. But that is not what the scriptures teach. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, Paul says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your own salvation. That is, put into practice the salvation that you have received. That sounds like works, people say. What does Paul say in the very next verse? You are to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for God is at work within you. So we are to work because God works within us. And that's why our work in seeking to grow in grace can be effective. We work along with God. This is not gaining salvation by works. This is growing in grace. This is being sanctified by works. But we are working with God. And we are daily depending upon God for his strength and for his guidance. So one thing that we need to do on a regular basis is to study, to read, to study, and to meditate upon the scriptures. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a guide to my path, God says in Psalm 119, verse 105. So read the scriptures, and I've always recommended this, usually at the beginning of every year for the last 35 years. Read the scriptures. Have a plan to read the scriptures. I have in the past printed out copies of the Evangelical Movement of Wales reading list, which takes you through all of the Bible in a year. Usually it is four chapters a day, occasionally when it's a long chapter, like Psalm 119, which is the longest in the whole of the Bible, you do that in one day. Sometimes it's three chapters, sometimes it's five chapters, but mainly it's about four chapters. And you don't necessarily have to sit and read. When I was working in the civil service, and I had to catch a train to get to work, I would get on the train and I'd open my Bible and start to read. Then I had to change trains at Wimbledon, and as I would squat on the platform waiting for the next train, and I would sit and read the scriptures, and then I'd get on the train into Waterloo and I'd read the scriptures. And at work, at lunchtime, I'd have my sandwiches and I would read the scriptures. And then I do the same in reverse, going home on the train, read the scriptures. Squatting on the platform, waiting for the train, read the scriptures. And as a consequence, in one year, I managed to read the scriptures, I think, about six times, all the way through. Now, for some people, they can't manage that. They can't read that much. For some people, just reading one chapter a day is a struggle. But we don't, these days, have to read the scriptures. We can have the scriptures read to us. And if you have a mobile phone, and most people do these days, you can download a Bible app. There is an ESV Bible app, and it will read it to you. And if you want to really concentrate, you can get it to play at half speed. Or if you want to get through quickly, you can play it at double speed. Not everybody can understand what is said when it's at double speed. But you can sit and listen. So you can be driving in a car and you can listen to the scriptures being read. It really doesn't matter how we interact with the scriptures. The important thing is that we do. Read, listen to as much of the scriptures as you are able to. And having read the scriptures, think upon it, meditate upon it, think about what does it mean? Who was it written to? What were the circumstances? What is the consequence of that passage that I read? Engage with the scriptures. So feed upon it. Remember that in New Testament times, Paul wrote to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, to attend to the public reading of the scriptures. Now, some people say that, therefore, we must always have the scriptures publicly read. Well, I'm not against that, but what Paul was saying was, not everybody is able to read. How else can they interact with the scriptures if they don't hear the scriptures read? Also, at the time, they did not have printing in the way we do these days. And so, therefore, it was impossible for a person to have their own copy of the scriptures. And so, therefore, if they were going to have access to the scriptures at all, it had to be read to them. We have such blessings today. We have so many different translations of the scriptures. We can go into many bookshops and buy a copy of the scriptures. We have it on our phones. It is so easy to access the scriptures. So really we have no excuse for not reading the scriptures. So feed upon what God has given to us. But then in Hebrews chapter 10, the writer warns us there about the dangers of not meeting together with other believers. Verse 23 of chapter 10, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promises faithful, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. So we should be interacting with one another and helping one another in our reading of and understanding of the scriptures and in the practical outworkings as to how we should live, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you say that, all the more as you see the day drawing near. We are to be helpful to each other as a consequence of our meeting together. The writer to the Hebrews has said earlier in chapter 3, which you've often heard me quote, "Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." We need each other in order to encourage one another, in order to help one another in our reading of the scriptures, understanding of the scriptures, and application of the scriptures. So if anybody does not have a Bible reading plan, and there are so many you can access these days, but if you haven't got one, ask me and I'll give you a link to the one that we have used for so many years. And if you want a printed copy, if you are unable to print it yourself, I will print it out for you. So what we are to do, therefore, is to fix our eyes firmly upon who? Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, "Looking unto Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith." The Lord Jesus Christ is whom we are looking to help us and to aid us, because he is the one who came and lived and suffered and died and, praise God, rose from the dead for our justification. So look to him always. Think about what he did. Think about what it cost him. Think about what you deserve because of your sin. Think about the fact that he took the punishment that is due to you upon himself when he died upon the cross. And then take to heart Paul's words in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, to walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And he then lists the desires of the flesh. But then he says in chapter 5 and verse 22 of Galatians, "The fruit of the Spirit is plain: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." We need to see that we put on these things. We need to put these things into practice. Seeking to become more like Christ. And as we seek to do that, God works within us and works these things out. But we mustn't get depressed with the thought that, yes, but I fail. I try and do these things, but I fail. Confess your sins to God, turn your back upon them, and point your face at righteousness, remembering that one day you will be fully and finally delivered from sin, and you will walk with the Lord Jesus Christ through all eternity, freed from sin. So we need constantly to be looking to Jesus, constantly to be trusting him, constantly to be surrendering our hearts and our lives to him, constantly in an attitude of prayer to God. Remember what Paul said, pray without ceasing. There are certain people who say very privately, "I pray 5 times a day. To which the answer should be, only 5 times? The Bible tells us we should always be praying. That doesn't mean we get down on our knees and spend all our time on our knees, but that in everything we do, we are always in communion with God, speaking to God about how we should live, asking to be preserved from temptation, kept from temptation, and thus kept from sin. We need to remember the fact that, as we've seen recently, Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches." As long as we are connected to the vine, we benefit from the vine. We benefit from being in Christ. And so we can memorize some of these verses that remind us of these things. So in conclusion, resist sin. Avoid hindrances that lead you to sin. Avoid the temptations to sin as much as you are able. And confess freely, readily, confess to God on those occasions when you fail. Seek to practice spiritual discipline. Some of us find discipline difficult. We find ourselves so easily distracted into doing other things, and that might lead us to fall into sin. Discipline yourself to do the things that you should be doing, and ask God to help you in achieving such a goal. Fix our eyes firmly upon the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he has done as a source of strength and of perseverance. Ask yourself, you don't have to write it down, but have it in mind. What specific steps are you going to take in this coming year to resist sin? And what specific steps are you going to take to grow in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Let us seek in this year ahead to run the race that is set before us. Because there is a race set before us and we are to run it. And when we have run and we reach the finish line, will we gain a crown of righteousness? If we are believers, then that is what is coming for us. Trust God that as we seek his face and as we seek to put these things into practice, we will be given the strength to resist and overcome sin and grow in grace and walk in righteousness. Remembering always to be looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who came and lived and suffered and died for us.